And this morning, I want us to look at Joshua chapter 2 and a message I've entitled, A Courageous Choice. And I think sometimes we go through life and we find ourselves in a circumstance that we're not really pleased with, we're not really comfortable with, but there seems to be no way out. And whether it's a result of our choices or a result of circumstances that really we had very little to do with, we find ourselves labeled by others or perhaps even labeled by ourselves in a way that we don't like, but, well, we don't see a way out. And that kind of defines in our mind who we are, and we begin to believe it defines in God's mind who we are. And I wonder what would happen if every one of us would make that courageous choice to follow God, not just when we gather in here, not just when it's comfortable, not just when it's convenient, not just when it looks good, but every moment that we live. I want us to look at the opening of Joshua chapter 2, and then we're going to break down the rest of the chapter. But these first 8 verses of Joshua 2. Then Joshua, son of Nun, secretly sent 2 spies out and said, "Go look over the land," he said, "especially Jericho." And so they went and entered the house of a prostitute named Rahab and stayed there. The king of Jericho was told, "Look, some of the Israelites have come here tonight to spy out the land." And so the king of Jericho sent this message to Rahab: "Bring out the men who came to you and entered your house, because they have come here to spy out our entire land." But the woman had taken the 2 men and hidden them. She said, "Yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they had come from." And so at dusk, when it was time to close the city gate, the men left. "I don't know which way they went. Go after them quickly. You might catch up with them." But she had taken them up to the roof and hidden them under the stalks of flax that she had laid out on the roof. And so the men from the king set out in pursuit of the spies on the road that leads to the fords of the Jordan. And as soon as the pursuers had gone, the gate was shut. Now, it might seem like that describes a courageous choice. And in fact, it was a courageous choice to hide these spies, these men from Israel. You might even think it was a courageous choice for these men to choose this particular house. They were there spying out the land. They were there representing God's people, and they chose the house of a prostitute. Now, it's fascinating, and I think sometimes we like to kind of gloss over that. In fact, the footnotes in my Bible says it might have just been an innkeeper. But you go over to Hebrews, and the writer of Hebrews refers to her as a prostitute or a harlot. And so somehow the writer of Hebrews didn't get the message that that's not really what it was. And as I look back, I think it was this attempt to kind of make us more comfortable with the choice that these men made. She couldn't have been that bad, or they wouldn't have stopped there. She couldn't have been that bad, or God would not have used her. She couldn't have been that bad, or the story wouldn't exist. You look through the Bible at some of the great heroes of faith, and the details of their life are not things that we would normally put on a poster of attributes to teach our children. At least not the beginning. Obviously, the ending, we definitely want to teach our children the transformational aspect of God. I think the more courageous choice comes in the rest of the chapter. These first few courageous choices kind of set the tone. They made it available. And it's a courageous choice that God calls every one of us to make today. The same courageous choice that Rahab made. And so we're going to look at some aspects of her choice and then apply it to our life. And hopefully see how our courageous choices can change not only us, but our family, our church, our community, our nation. We just sang that God of this city, the King of this people, the Lord of this nation. And we know that in big picture terms. But for that to be lived out, the question is He the God and Lord and King of my life every moment? That's how the big picture becomes more clear. I think about a parent, and we often think, at least in the era that I grew up in, my parents were in charge. They were kind of the Lord of my life, so to speak. Not to equate them with God, but as a child, they were it. Now guess what? It didn't mean I always did what they said. Lordship, and especially the way God treats us, doesn't direct us away. He directs us away from choosing wrong, but He doesn't make us not choose wrong. It's still our choice, just as it was my choice to be under the authority and charge of my parents or not. And they were still in charge, but my disobedience often had consequences, which taught me to not disobey so much. At least that was the theory. And it worked pretty well, I think. Mom would say so today, anyhow. But it comes down to each one of us choosing that He is my Lord, He is my King, He is my God. And so this word choice, I know it's a little longer than some of the words, but these all flow together well. I don't think I'll keep you here all day. But I wonder what it looks like to break down a courageous choice and then apply it. I think a courageous choice begins with a courageous confession. Joshua 2, beginning at verse 9, Rahab says to the spies, "I know that the Lord has given this land to you, and that a great fear of you has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. We have heard about how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to Sihon and Og, the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. When we heard of it, our hearts melted, and everyone's courage failed because of you. For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on the earth below." Here was this woman that would not have necessarily had a good reputation even among her own people. And she has this incredibly courageous confession that your God is God. It's the same confession that God calls us to make. It's the same confession that we ought to make when we surrender to Jesus. When we immerse someone into Christ, we repeat what we call that good confession. It's a courageous confession that says, "I agree that God is in charge of my life from this day forward, and that He alone is God." As Rahab made that choice to protect these spies, she begins with this courageous confession that kind of lets the cat out of the bag, so to speak, that we are terrified. How many times do we put on a brave face even when we know the situations around us are not good? We try to pretend it's all okay. It'll work out. It's not that bad. And sometimes I think the most courageous confession that we can make is to confess and agree to God that we are in over our heads and we don't know how to get out of it. And Rahab comes along. She protects these men from Israel and she confesses to them that it's not just me. Our entire city are afraid of you because of your God. Our entire city realizes that what your God sets out to do, he will do. And how many times do we shrink back when God calls us to a courageous confession? You see, this choice to follow God wholeheartedly, to follow God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength is a choice that says, I agree that God alone can do what needs done. And so I'm going to pursue him. This courageous choice not only includes a courageous confession, but it includes a courageous hope. Verses 12 and 13 says, Now then, please swear to me by the Lord that you will show kindness to my family because I have shown kindness to you. Give me a sure sign that you will spare the lives of my father and my mother, my brothers and sisters, and all who belong to them, and that you will save us from death. There were no guarantees. There's no appearance of a agreement ahead of time that if you hide us, if you do this, if you do that, we'll look out for your best interest. Instead, there was this courageous hope by Rahab that, in fact, not only she, but her entire family would be saved. When you consider the message of God as the Israelites were being brought into the promised land was often to destroy everything. God would say the wickedness is so great, it's so overwhelming, it's so all-encompassing that to leave any of it would result in a bad outcome. And so God would say, as you go into a city, destroy everything. Let nothing that's evil remain. And even in the midst of such instructions, there's this courageous hope. Where Rahab says, return the kindness that I've shown to you. And as you follow God's word, as you recognize the person of Jesus offering that same courageous hope to us, a message of God that says sin cannot dwell in God's presence, God cannot dwell in the presence of sin, and so they must be eternally separated. And for you and me, that's bad news. Except for this courageous hope. That because of the goodness, because of the kindness of God, because of his willingness to pay the price for my sin, that I can be rescued. That I can be saved from the destruction that is due. That's the courageous hope that Rahab lived with. I know things aren't good, she says. I know that the city's going to fall. I know that God's going to give all of these people over to you, but return the kindness, please. What an incredible opportunity that we have as Christians, as God's people, to offer a courageous hope to our community, to our families, by returning the kindness. And allowing the kindness to begin with us. We make a courageous choice when we make a courageous confession, when we have a courageous hope, but we also, in the midst of that, have a courageous opportunity. Again, continuing in Joshua 2, verse 14, our lives for your lives, the men assured her. If you don't tell what we are doing, we will treat you kindly and faithfully when the Lord gives us this land. And so she let them down by a rope through the window, for the house she lived in was part of the city wall. Now she had said to them, "Go to the hills so the pursuers will not find you. Hide yourselves there 3 days until they return, and then you can go on your way." Joshua sent these men in to spy out, to see if it was possible. And I think in order to get this message from God, that it was. I think Joshua already knew that. Joshua had decided that 40 years earlier that it was possible if God wanted it done. And yet he wanted some fresh recon. He wanted some fresh information. And Rahab gives this incredible opportunity. Again, she could have turned these guys in. May have even been considered a city hero. May have increased her standing, her reputation within her own community. But she saw an opportunity for something bigger. Something greater, something that would align with God. A God that they had heard about. And so she made the most of that opportunity by coming into an agreement with God's people. If you want to know how that opportunity plays out, read Matthew chapter 1, verse 5. The genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. That's verse 1. Verse 5 says, Salmon, the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab. A courageous choice led to a courageous opportunity to not only change everything about you, but to be known for your faithfulness. And when we look to the choices that we make every day, are we looking at the opportunity that exists to represent Jesus, to make him known, to change the way the world looks at him? Rahab made this courageous confession. She had this courageous hope. She took this courageous opportunity. She did so with a courageous intention. There was a purpose behind what she was doing. When we see the opportunities that God lays before us, we ought to be intentional about making the most of them. Continuing Joshua chapter 2, verse 17 now. The men, the spies that had been sent from Israel, said to her, "This oath you made us swear will not be binding on us unless, when we enter the land, you have tied this scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down, and unless you have brought your father and mother, your brothers, and all your family into your house. If anyone goes outside your house into the street, his blood will be on his own head. We will not be responsible. As for anyone who is in the house with you, his blood will be on our head if a hand is laid on him. But if you tell what we are doing, we will be released from the oath you made us swear." Sometimes we really need to step back and do a serious gut check of our intention. Why are we doing this? What's our motivation? What's behind it? We're pretty good at doing that on others, but of ourselves. Because we can't see into the heart of others. We cannot judge their motives accurately. The fruit of their life may give us indication, but we start with this courageous intention of saying, why am I doing this? What do I hope God to accomplish through it? Rahab's intention was to save herself and her family. And the spies give all of these restrictions. And we don't like restrictions all that well. But when it comes down to either following them or losing our life, we tend to value them a little bit more. At least we ought to. And so the spy said, well, here's the deal. We'll take this oath, we'll make this agreement, but there's some stipulations. You have to follow through with your intentions. You have to follow through with your side of the agreement. You have to be in a place where we can rescue you. You have to be in a place where we know how to find you. And this courageous intention says, we want you to be saved. What will you do about it? And as we live life and we make that courageous choice to follow Jesus, God's intention, he says, and I believe Peter writes it and says, his intention, his will is that none should perish. God's intention is that you would be saved. But he says there's some things that you have to decide in your heart. It's not that you're going to earn that salvation, but you must put yourself into the position of God's blood to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. You must come into relationship with Jesus. In Acts chapter 2, Peter preaches this incredible sermon. We talked about that a few weeks ago. And the people are cut to the heart. They say, what can we do? And Peter's response is to each one of them to repent and be immersed into Christ for the forgiveness of their sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is not only for them, but for their children and their children's children and for all who are near, for all who are far off. And when we live life with this courageous choice, we live life realizing that it's God's intention that we be saved. He's not trying to find the loopholes to keep us out of heaven. He's made the way through his son Jesus so that we can get there. And this agreement between the spies and Rahab was not an agreement designed full of loopholes to keep her from being saved. It was an agreement full of instructions so that she could be saved. The intention of the agreement was to follow through with the kindness she had shown them, so that it could be returned to her and her family. What a courageous choice to choose God. That courageous confession, hope, opportunity, intention ought to lead to a courageous commitment. Verse 21 says, agreed, she replied. Let it be as you say. And so she sent them away, and they departed, and she tied the scarlet cord in the window. Now, that may not seem all that significant. That was part of the agreement. You tie this scarlet cord in so that when we come back and we attack Jericho, that we know where you are at, and that you and all those in your house will be saved. And they left, and she ties the cord in the window. But it's not that they were returning immediately. In fact, if you remember the instructions we read, she had told them to go hide for 3 days before they ever went back to the Israelites. But in my mind, I picture her thinking and planning and saying, I don't want to miss this opportunity. I don't want to miss this commitment they've made to me. Sure, I could wait 3 days and put that ribbon in the window. I could wait until I see the armies of Israel approaching. I could wait until the last minute and put it out there. But I think she wanted to commit right then and there that this is what she was doing. And so as soon as they left, she hung that cord as a sign not only to them, but I think to herself. No going back. No changing my mind. The Bible is full of these instances where God's people do courageous things and incredible things through the strength of God. And consistently he's telling them to do something to remember it by. Otherwise you'll forget. And when we come to Christ, when we have our sins washed away, we generally come out of the waters of baptism excited about being God's child, and we want to do great things for God, and then Monday comes. And we've not hung that scarlet cord. We've not hung that sign of commitment in our own life that we're sticking with this. I think of Rahab with this occupation. This choice that I'm committed to a different life. I'm committed to a life that follows God. I'm committed to this agreement with the God of the Israelites. And it's as if she's hanging this cord right now, that from this day forward, this is my commitment. We make a courageous choice when we make a courageous commitment and say, I will not move from this. So many times we live life kind of walking this way, and then walking this way, and we kind of find ourselves meandering around absolute truth. We kind of find ourselves meandering around a direct following of God's word. We have this list of scriptures we like, that we agree with, that we follow. We say, I'm a follower of Jesus because I do these things. And when somebody comes along and they says, well, what about this? As well, I don't understand that, so I'm not doing it. Well, the thing probably ought to be, I don't understand that, so let's study it. Let's spend time with God. Let's hear what he has to say. But oftentimes we lack that courageous commitment that says, if God says it, I'm going to do it by the strength of his spirit and the power that lives within me. A courageous commitment. The kind of the heart behind this series is a simple looking around. We live in a time, and it's not that it's a unique time fully. Every time, I think, has its unique qualities about it. But we live in a time where evil is prevalent. And we live at a time where it's easier to go along with it than not to. And whether we go along with it in the sense of participating, or we simply go along with it in the sense of giving approval, or at least not disapproving, we don't like to make waves. We don't like to kind of be stuck out there on our own. And as I look at the news, and I look at our nation, and I look at the social media feeds, I think if there's ever a time for courage, it's now. If there's ever a time for God's children to say, I belong to Jesus, and I'm going to live like it, it's now. And so many times we think that means that we have to be in opposition to everything around us. But what would happen if we're not so much known as what we're opposed to, but we're known for what we believe in? or for who we believe in. A time for courage, to be the representative of Jesus that he's called us to be. To be filled with mercy and grace and compassion and forgiveness. To find and figure out how to lovingly correct as God has lovingly corrected us. That courageous choice, you see, it involves a courageous commitment, but it also involves a courageous example. Or more importantly, it leads to a courageous example. The last part of Joshua chapter 2, beginning at verse 22, the spies had left. It says, when they left, they went into the hills and stayed there 3 days, as they had been told, until the pursuers had searched all along the road and returned without finding them. And then the two men started back. They went down out of the hills, forded the river, and came to Joshua, son of Nun, and told him everything that had happened to them. And they said to Joshua, the Lord has surely given the whole land into our hands. All the people are melting in fear because of us. What would happen if we lived with that courageous example? One of my favorite stories in the Bible, and there's a whole list of them, so I don't have time to tell you all of them this morning. But it's the story of Ruth. A story of a woman who, well, was in a position that was not, I guess you would say, was not desirable in her culture. Her husband had died, and she'd kind of had moved back home to with her mother-in-law. She was a foreigner. She was not an Israelite by birth. But she had made a choice, a very courageous choice, just as Rahab did, to follow the God of the Israelites. And so she did. There's another choice that happens in that story. In the story that Ruth is caring for her mother-in-law, Naomi, and this guy, Boaz, sees her and thinks, that's a good thing that she's doing. And he wants to know more about her, and they end up connecting, and they get married. And you think about it, this is Boaz, a upstanding Israelite within his community, choosing to marry a foreigner. Not something that was an elevated thing to do within Israel's culture. And I wonder, the example that was set in his life to say that's okay. Verse I read earlier, I didn't quite finish, from Matthew chapter 1. Salmon, the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab. Did you catch that name? Boaz, the guy that decided it's okay to marry a foreigner, was the son of this guy Salmon and Rahab. He had already seen the example of how it worked, of how that courageous choice made a difference. And so that verse went on, Boaz, the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth, Obed, the father of Jesse, and Jesse, the father of King David. A courageous choice really brings us to a time of decision. I would guess you expect that. We have a choice to make. I have a choice to make. You have a choice to make. Will I live and have a courageous confession that Jesus is in fact Lord of my life. Confess not just with my words, but confess with my actions, with my life. Will I live with that courageous hope, realizing that this world, this earth, this life here is temporary, but I'm already a citizen of a better kingdom? To live with that courageous opportunity to make the most of the sacrifice that Jesus has done, so that my confession, my hope, is fulfilled. To do so with that courageous intention that's more than just words, it's more than just, well, if I get around to it type of intention. But an intention with purpose that says, I've planted my flag here, this is where I'm at. I belong in God's kingdom because He's adopted me. My intention is to live for Him every moment of my life, no matter what. You see, when we make those courageous choices, when we say, God, You're in charge, He changes us. And we become that courageous example. Not so people look at us and say, wow, what a great person you are. They may think that, but what really ought to get their attention is, wow, what a great God you have. You see, this courageous choice that Rahab made was a choice that is the same as ours. Do I follow God, or do I step back into the comfort of what I've always known? Today, it's my prayer that every person in this room, every person listening and watching online will say, I want to make a courageous choice to follow God wholeheartedly and to live as that courageous example. Would you stand as we sing a song of decision?